how to build a premium buyer's list for big profits. Now, if I was to say there's a holy grail in real estate and wholesaling real estate, this would definitely be it. Because there's, if you've been in wholesaling for any amount of time, we've all heard the same thing. Find the deal and the buyers are going to come. For those of us that have actually done real estate, that's not always true, right? We think we have a deal, but where are the buyers? The buyers don't show up, right? And the truth is because you most likely don't have a deal, but you're not going to know that because guess what? You're not the buyer. You understand? You cannot be the person to judge what is or isn't a deal. Now, as wholesalers, after we spend so much time doing this business, there's going to be a lot of areas where we understand what a deal is because of past experience. But the truth is on this as well, is that that also changes. Just because you have wholesaled this deal in the past for, let's say, 20 grand, does not mean you're also going to make 20 grand moving forward. There's a good chance you can make a lot more or a lot less because the market shifts. Again, this is not you determining what is a deal or not. It's the buyer determining what is a deal or not. So let's get into like what the benefits are of building this buyer's list. So I'm going to cover, just to give you a breakdown, I'm going to cover the benefits, where to find them, and how to vet your buyers, because that's very, very important, vetting your buyers. It's not about the size of the list. The size of the list means jack shit if they don't buy. You understand? So we're going to go into some key metrics that I look for in all of the people that join my buyers list. All right. So what are the benefits? Is first, you know what market you're in. So what do I mean? If you don't understand where to market, you're going to just waste a ton of money. You understand? You're just going to do what everybody does. Just buy a list and market to that list. What list? If you don't know what list you're going to be marketing to, guess what? You're going to be spending a lot of money on pointless marketing. And you're going to get somebody that's going to come to you, a seller, that's like, yeah, I want to sell. Cool. That's benefit number two, is that you don't know what a deal looks like. So you're probably going to use your 70% formula, which we've covered in past trainings, doesn't work for shit. So you're probably going to use that formula, miscalculate your numbers, lowball the hell out of them, and you won't get a deal. And then benefit number three is by building a buyer's list first, your potential profits are tremendously bigger. Because now you are going to each and every single property with the confidence that you know that you have a buyer at these prices. You understand? So now even the deals that you close are going to be more. Because there have been deals that I've had to walk away from before I started doing this just because my numbers didn't work for the deal. And let me give you an example. We had a property last year where our number was $135,000 for the house. The lady could not sell for less than $150,000. We're pretty far apart with that, right? I couldn't come up. It was going to be a flip. I couldn't cut my margins that much. But I reached out to one of my buyers. I was like, hey, just threw a number out there. And I've done previous trainings on this, on how to like pitch to your buyers and dispo properties. But I pitched them at $180,000. I was like, what do you think? Does this work for you? They're like, yeah, I'll do that for $180,000. Went right back to the seller, contracted it for the $150,000, made 30 grand. I made pretty much as much as I was planning on making on the flip on that same property, but by wholesaling it. All when I was about to walk away from that property and I ended up closing it for 30. You understand? Like, this is the power of building a buyer's list. This is the benefit of having it. You don't know what a deal looks like. That's why you have a buyer's list. If that property in that area you know would fit that buyer that you have, all you got to do is call up the buyer and say, hey, I have a motivated seller in this area that you like. This is the property. They're motivated. I just don't know what the hell to do. That buyer is going to be like, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll help him negotiate it. I'll help you get it on the contract. We'll get it done. You'll get paid and you'll learn how to do the process. This is why the whole thing of find the deal and the buyers are going to show up is nonsense. It's complete nonsense. I mean, you can try, you can hope to get lucky, but why hope for luck? How about we actually do strategies that are going to make us money? So with that being said, let's get into how to find them. Number one place I like finding my buyers is Facebook groups. wherever you are, whatever city you are, you're in, you're going to type in San Antonio or your city. Don't type in San Antonio if you're not in San Antonio. Real estate investing, wholesale real estate, just anything regarding with real estate investing. Join every single one of those groups and start collaborating in the groups. Start participating. Start seeing who's posting what. Who's the one that's posting properties for sale? And based on those properties for sale, who are the people that are commenting underneath that are interested in those properties? Most of the time, those people commenting are buyers. Sometimes you're going to have wholesalers commenting as well because they do the whole, you know, crocodile method or whatever other crap is out there, or they try to daisy chain this nonsense. But there are a few real legit buyers that are part of those chains. And you start DMing these people and figuring out what their buy box is. And we're going to go into vetting the buyers later, but you go into building that connection, building all those people, and they get to know you. So this is something that I cover in pillar number 3 of my training, is building your personal brand. If people don't know you exist, they can't do business with you. If you don't collaborate and participate in these Facebook groups, people are not going to know that you wholesale real estate, that you are in the St. Louis, San Antonio, New Orleans market. They're not going to know this. So when you get a property and you post it out there, people are going to be like, who the hell is this person? Right? So you want to start participating in these posts as early as possible, because you start building your credibility and the recognition people are going to have when it comes to you and what it is that you do. So you go into these Facebook groups, join them all. After you've done this for a few weeks, there's really 2 or 3 Facebook groups at all times that are the ones that you're really going to be going back to. Most of them are just nonsense. There are hard money lenders out there just nonstop pitching, right? But there's going to be about 2 or 3 that are the ones that most deals get done through. So these are the ones you want to participate in. These are the ones you want to pay attention to. Who are the people wholesaling? Where are they wholesaling? What types of properties are they wholesaling? Who are the buyers? What are they buying? All of this is data that you need to gather as an investor, because it's going to dictate where the hell you're going to be marketing to your properties. What type of strategies are working in this market? Is it buy and hold? Is it fix and flip? Is it owner finance? What strategies? It's not always everything. You understand? There are people that, you know, I've had wholesalers that they pitch me a deal and they're like, oh, here's a really good deal. You can flip it. You can keep it as a rental. You can short term. I'm like, no, no, no. You know, chances are it doesn't qualify for all of those things. Because if it does, you're probably, you know, not taking any wholesale fee, right? Because most of the time, there's not enough meat on the bone to make it make sense for everything. There's always one strategy that works best, and depending on the area of town. There are some houses in some areas that you do not want as rentals, because the values are so damn high, you're never going to cash flow. The rents aren't that high in those areas. So in those areas, if you get a property, 10 out of 10 times, it's going to be a flip, unless you get it ridiculously low, which a wholesaler is not going to wholesale it to you at that point, right? They're going to wholesale it to a fix-and-flip investor, because if they get it that low, it's a much bigger wholesale fee. So it teaches you where to be by doing all that research, by spending those times in the Facebook groups. Now, the next thing is networking events. You're local to the area. You attend at least 3 to 4 networking events every single month. And when you're in this networking events, I want you to have your pitch down packed. And this is not your pitch. Hey, I'm John. I flip some houses. I have some rentals. I do some lending. I wholesale some houses. Bro, they don't know where to begin to work with you. You're all over the place. When you go to a networking event, when you pitch yourself, you have the opportunity to pitch yourself, you pitch what it is that you need in that moment. And what you need as a wholesaler are buyers. You don't need private money lenders. You don't need deals. You need buyers. All right? So when you get your chance to pitch, say, like, hey, I'm John. I'm a local wholesaler here in San Antonio. I've been doing a lot of marketing. I'm getting some motivated seller. I'm just looking for some buyers that I can pass these off to. You know, so if you're a buyer in San Antonio, just let me know, and I would love to talk to you. You're looking for buyers. You're not looking for everything. And you also don't pitch yourself like, hey, my name is John. I'm an Aquarius. I grew up doing... No, short to the point. What is it that you need? Because that's what people are going to retain. People are going to retain what it is that... How can you bring them value, right? So if you're talking to somebody that's not looking for wholesalers, and you tell them you're a wholesaler, they're not going to give 2 craps about you. Fine. Those aren't the people that you need because they're not looking for deals. But if you're talking to somebody that is looking for deals and you say, I'm a wholesaler, you pique their interest. But if you say, I'm a buyer, I'm a buy and hold investor, I do short-term rentals, I play catch with my kids on the weekend, like, what are you saying? They don't even know what the hell you're doing. Be to the point. What is it that you need? What is it that, when you're in that networking event, what is it that you're looking for? I'm looking for buyers. And when you find these buyers, all information that you got to get from them is their name, their phone number, a little bit about what they're buying, and move on. All right? What you're going to do is later throughout the week, you're going to reach out to these people. Now that you have time, you're going to reach out to them, have a nice call, sit down for coffee. I recommend coffee, not lunch. Lunch can drag on for 2 hours, and if you're sitting with the wrong person, those are going to be some long 2 hours. I like coffee because if I realize I sat down with a charlatan or somebody that's just, wanting to play real estate investor, I can leave in less than 30 minutes, right? I could always have another meeting coming up. But coffee is always the best strategy. But you build that connection with them later on in the week. Don't do it at the networking event. At the networking event, just be like, got it. You're a buyer. You kind of buy these properties here. You've done this. All right, you're a potential lead. I'm going to take down your information. I'm going to call you throughout the week and go to the next person. Because you don't want to be at a networking event where there's 30, 40, 50, 100 people and you speak to two. That was a wasted networking event. I want you to speak to as many people as possible because you'll increase your chances of finding the right buyers for your list, for your area that are going to be able to help you. If you spend that time talking to two people and they're the wrong two people, you just wasted that networking event. So be intentional when you're out networking. And then the last place that I recommend, and this may be, a little controversial, but I don't care. You sign up to other people's wholesale lists. So you have all these idiot wholesalers. I'm sorry if you're one of them. Hopefully after this training, you're not going to be anymore. But what they do is they get a deal and they blast it out to everybody, right? So what you're going to do is when they blast it out to everybody, you're going to be a part of that blast. You're going to take that address. You're going to keep it on a Google sheet, put down the address, and go compiling all of these. If they do it through emails, through Facebook, whatever it is, go compiling a list of all these addresses. And then at the end of every month, you go into the county records, and you're going to look at who bought any of those properties. Because guess what? Those are buyers. That's right. Who bought those properties? Now you're going to be able to find actual buyers that are buying those houses. So when you find who it is, even if it's a LLC, if it's an LLC, you go to Open Corporate. You can search any LLC, find out who the registered agent is, and then you can skip trace that agent or send them a direct mail, whatever you feel like doing. I like cold calling. We do everything through cold calling, but you can always send them a letter or something like that, saying what it is that you do. But what you do with that is you go ahead. Now you have the address. You have the buyer that bought that house in that area. So now you have an actual buyer that's buying houses, right? So you go doing this, and with time, you're going to go building also. But this is not, I don't want you to take these three areas to find buyers as pick one. No, it's all three. You do them all. Because this last one, while it's good, takes time. Because sometimes they'll post a property today for sale, it doesn't close for a few weeks, and it doesn't get posted on the county for maybe, months. Depends on the county. It won't get registered right away, right? So you want to be able to move quickly. And in the meantime, while that is getting done, you're going to networking events, you're on the Facebook groups, you're building your buyers list alongside all of this, all right? Now, how to vet your buyers. What qualifies a buyer? Having money doesn't qualify a buyer. All right. What I look for in all of my buyers, how many deals did you do last year? It better be more than 7. If you didn't do more than 7 deals last year, I am not considering you as a serious buyer. I might keep you there as in case everything else fails, maybe I'll give you a shot, but you're not a serious buyer to me. Why 7 or more? Because anybody that does 3 to 5 deals a year, typically what that means is they can't handle more than one property at a time. They usually do a flip. They do a project. When they're done, they look for the next one. It's fine for them. I'm not saying that's a bad strategy for the buyer. I'm saying that's a bad buyer for you. Because if you don't bring them a property at the right time that they need it, you're never going to close them. Because they can't handle more than one project at a time. So what it is that we look for, how many deals did you do last year? And the reason I ask how many deals and not how many projects you can handle, because there's a lot of shit talkers out there. They're like, I could do 3 deals a month, you know, once. Bullshit, you can do 3 deals at once. Because as soon as they have one deal and you bring them another one, they're like, you know what? I just bought this one. So I'm kind of in the process of setting it up. So blah, blah, blah. Right? It is what it is. And by all means, again, if you're a buyer that does that, I'm not saying get in over your head to prove anything to me. I don't give a damn. Right? It's just for you as a wholesaler, that is not a buyer you go after. Because the chances that you lock up a property at the right time that they need it, it's going to be so hard. You understand? So I'll keep them, but maybe as a secondary option in case my first buyer can't at the moment or backs out or whatever it is, right? So that is one of the things that we do to qualify them. Another thing that we do to qualify them is, what is their access to money? It matters, because if they use cash, their own cash, that means that they could be tapped out much quicker. If they use private funds, those are my favorite types of buyers. They use private lending. Because those people that use private lending, if they're good at recruiting private lenders, then they pretty much have unlimited funds at really good rates. And then the third type is going to be your buyers that borrow hard money. Those are not necessarily my favorite. Hard money loans are expensive. So a lot of these buyers, sometimes they need a bigger discount to just compensate for the hard money loan. Hard money loans also, all times, they require a lot of outflow of cash from the buyer that's borrowing the money. And somebody that's doing hard money lending, this is why I recommend a lot of flippers that try to flip multiple houses, is to not take on too many hard money loans at once. Because what you don't always factor in is that monthly nut that you're going to have from all those hard money loans. Because those hard money loans, they require a monthly payment consistently, and they're not cheap. And when you have 2, 3, 4 houses, depending on how much you borrowed, you could be talking about $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month every single month that you're putting out without getting anything back because you haven't sold any of the properties. That is a big capital expenditure. You understand? So not to give tips to flippers, but as a wholesaler, this is something that you want to keep in mind, because if your buyers are overextended, they could get themselves into some problems and therefore not buy a property from you. So we want to know, what is your access to funds? Are you using private funds? Are you using hard money? Are you using cash? That's going to let me know how much can you pay for a deal. My private cash buyer will pay always more because they don't have money costs than a private money lender or a hard money lender buyer. You understand? Then the private money lender is usually the second best. We borrow our money between 8 and 10% interest only. We pay our loans off at the back end. We don't do monthly installments. So I have a $0 monthly expense on my money. I borrow all the money. I renovate my properties. I sell them. Then I pay off my loan with interest. It's obviously taken me years to build those, you know, that credibility in those buyers, those money lenders, but that's what I can do. So I'm a much more powerful buyer to most of my wholesalers than somebody that's coming in with a hard money loan. Plus, they also have other stipulations that the property needs to qualify for the loan, which, I mean, truth be told, in today's market, hard money lenders are just lending to anything. So that's really not a crazy assumption, but it could still be an issue. So when you're looking for what it is, you want to make sure that you're looking at, you know, where's that money coming from? And lastly, the question I like to ask more than anything is not what type of property you want, but what don't you want? What area of town don't you want a house? What style of house don't you want to buy? What year of house don't you want to have? What level of rehab don't you want to do? The reason for that is a lot of buyers struggle with nailing down their buy box of what exactly it is that they want. But they'll tell you in a heartbeat what they don't want. I don't want teardowns. I don't want burned down houses. I don't want houses in this side of town. I don't want houses built before this time. I don't want houses that have this type of plumbing, that type of siding, these types of basements, whatever it is. I don't care. It's your criteria. But by asking that, what it helps me do as a wholesaler is process elimination. All right, well, that takes out this side. That takes out this type of house. That takes out. So now we're able to narrow down the type of house they actually want to buy. Is there a size of home that you just don't want to deal with? Maybe anything over 2,000 square feet you don't want to mess around with. That's fine. You understand? I just need to know. Level of rehab. How much can you afford to be all in it for? Purchase and rehab. Right? If somebody, we had a buyer, I have a student in Orlando that he had a buyer that he says, I want to be all in, I think it was like 150, right? Purchase and rehab. And I was like, can you find a deal right now in Orlando for that price? Like in the decent area? He's like, well, no, based on the market data, I mean, you know, you're gonna be in some shitty areas. It's like, cool, then that's not a buyer. Either you need to go back to a buyer and be like, hey, in these areas that you're saying you want houses, you're not going to be all in it for 150, maybe 250, maybe 300. I don't know. Depends on your market, right? But you need to know this stuff. So when you have a buyer, you're like, all right, that's really not a buyer. What he wants doesn't make sense. Maybe he hit the nail on the head with everything else, but with that expectation, it's like, that doesn't make sense. Right? Like it's the same like in San Antonio. I want to be all in for less than 100 and I want to be in an amazing area. It's like, bro, nah. If that's the case, trust me, I'm keeping that deal. You understand? Like it's just not going to happen. But I know my market. I know my stats. This is why like in the mastermind, pillar number one is the market insight. Is you understanding what your market supplies, median prices, all these things. So this is why, as a wholesaler, it's important for you to know all these metrics. And this is the reason why, if you can build a quality buyer's list, I mean, you're making money hand over fist every day of the week, every single month, you're making money nonstop. You understand? It's very easy. You don't need a dispo team. You don't need anybody, you know, blasting out deals, having to deal with 15, 16 potential buyers that are all full of shit. You don't need to do all that. I speak to one person every time we have a property. Just push it out to one buyer, maybe two, depending on the property. That's it. They tell me yes. They go see the house. They confirm. It's all done. That's it. That's all dispo has to do. I don't need to hire anybody. It's ridiculous to be doing that. Unless you're doing 10 plus deals a month. So with that being said, that's the end of the training. Make sure you give me your questions. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what concerns you have. I launched the mastermind. Its first call is this Monday. This is the last week you have to sign up and get the one-on-one call with me. We're going to do a one-on-one strategy call for everybody that signs up before the launch of the mastermind. I won't do that again out of my time. And I charge $1,000 for those one-on-ones. So I'll give it for free for everybody that signs up before the launch of the event. And we're going to be going live next week with those calls. I was going to do one call a week, but now I'm thinking I'm going to do two calls a week, with one of them being just a straight Q&A call where all the students are going to be able to hop on and we're going to just answer questions for, you know, for anything that you may have at the time. So there's a lot of things going on in that. It's going to be good. We already have a good amount of people in there. So yeah, let me know if you want to sign up. And with that being said, thank you all for watching. Now let's get into the questions. What do you guys have? If I'm my own buyer, first and foremost, should I spend the same amount of time building my buyer's list? 100%, Kurt. People with money are by far the worst. So what do I mean by this? Because, and this is something I learned, because we became our best buyers. And we buy probably 90% of the deals that we generate. But what ends up happening is that because you can buy the property, sometimes you don't do a good job at making sure you're buying the right property, right? You shouldn't have contracted that house, but because you did, you're like, ah, screw it, I'll buy it. No. Remember, we're in this business to make money, all right? So if you don't have a buyer lined up for that property, you probably shouldn't contract it. Now, every property we contract, we always have two or three exit strategies for them because we get them at really good prices, right? So it's like, hey, maybe we can just clean it up and put it on the MLS and sell it retail, right? Or maybe we'll take it down, flip it ourselves, or maybe we can wholesale it. But that's because we have a good margin on it. But if I contract a house that's like, man, I have no buyers for this, first of all, why am I even contracting it? Secondly, maybe I shouldn't be a buyer for that house either. Does that make sense? I mean, maybe that house is not actually a good deal. So you should not, the point of you doing this, the point of like what we do in the mastermind, what we do in the coaching is that you generate the best deals for yourself. And then you wholesale the ones that you just don't want to deal with. They're on the other side of town. They have too much repairs, whatever it is. It doesn't meet your criteria. And that's fine. We all have criterias. You understand? So you want to make sure you're picking the best deals and not settling for whatever's out there. That's silly. You know, that's how you start buying houses. That I've had, you know, some of my students that they're like, oh, maybe I'll make 10 grand on this. I was like, what are you doing? That's the wrong business to be in, man. Like, we're not in charity business over here. 10 grand? No. Do not risk capital to make 10 grand. That's insane. There's no need for that. Deals are producing on an average wholesale 20, 25, 30 grand. So if I'm going to flip it, I better be making 50 plus. You understand? It better be a really good deal. If it's not, I am not touching it. So I hope that helps, Kurt. If they are smart, everyone on the email list is, well, yeah, they could blind CC them, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not taking their email list because that could be a ton of wholesalers. It could be 500 plus people. I'm not trying to do the work that they do. What I do is I just take the address that they're pushing. And that address is the one that I put on a Google sheet. And then I look on the county records a month from now or 2 months from now to see if it's sold and who it's sold to. Because I want the actual buyer, not, you know, a list of 300 potential buyers. I'm not trying to do the work that they're doing, right? So that's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at their email list. I'm looking at exactly what it is that they are, who's exactly buying that house. Dura, hey, is it okay to ask buyers for their access to 100%? I ask my buyers everything. I mean, I ask them so. What matters there is how you ask these questions. When you're talking to your buyers, you want to make sure that you're not interrogating your buyers, right? You're not sitting there with your notepad and you're like, all right, how many years have you been doing this? Where was the last house that you bought? No, you have a conversation with them, right? And I have a questionnaire that I give my students on how to ask these questions better. You're having a conversation with somebody. So it's like, I'm very cool. So how many houses did you do last year? I did, you know, X amount, 7, 8 properties. Wow. And do you use your own money to fund all these houses? Or is it like you use hard money? Oh, no, I use a lot of hard money. Hard money. Oh, okay. Who do you like going with? Oh, I use this lender. Very cool. And what did you, were you able to negotiate better terms, or are you still kind of like the entry level terms? Oh no, they got me at, you know, 2 and 10 or 2 and 12, whatever, you know, hard money lenders are charging. Got it. You see how I got the information without interrogating them? You understand? This is a conversation. This is where a lot of people go wrong when you talk to buyers. When I get some of my students, they're like, they didn't give me any answers. I was like, well, you probably didn't ask them right. You know, nobody likes to be interrogated, but everybody loves to have a conversation. And that's exactly what you're doing with them. You're having a conversation. You build a story around all the questions you want answered. You build a story. So as you're talking to them, you're throwing in these questions within the story. And then you're able to determine exactly what it is that they do, they don't like, they do like, all of these things. The same with the areas that they don't like. I like asking them like straight up. So just curious, like, is there a side of town that you're just like, you know, you've done a deal there or you know, and it didn't go well, or maybe it's a side of town that you're just like, I am not curious to ever do a property there. Oh yeah, I hate this side of town. I hate that side of town, whatever it is. You understand? I get you, man. Yeah. So what is it about that area that you just don't like? You see, like, it's not, again, not interrogation. Let's have a conversation. So I hope that helps, Dura. Kurt, makes sense. Love it, brother. I think wholesalers have found me that way 100%. If they're smart, they have. Marcus, what's up, brother? I haven't seen you in a while. What was the website you said? It's Open Corporates. So let's see. Yeah, opencorporates.com. That's the website that we use. And you just go on there. It's all free. You can search the LLC, and it'll give you exactly who the registered agent is. There you go, Scott. Thank you, brother. Or just the Secretary of State entity search in your state. Yeah. Yeah, just Open Corporate's been so far the easiest, and it has pretty much all the same information. But yeah, that's for sure. Thanks, brother. How many buyers do you send your deals to at first? Do you try to get multiple offers? No. Because remember, Jennifer, like, what we do with our buyers is we tell them, like, hey, I'm not going to blast this shit out to a bunch of people where you're going to have to bid and do all this nonsense. I'm going to bring it to you because it fits your criteria. But I tell you what, if it fits your criteria, you look at the pictures, you look at the price, you run your numbers, you say yes, and then you go see the house, everything fits, and you back out, you're out of my buyers list. Because I'm not here to mess around. You understand? Like, I'm not here to do that. I have a business that I run, and I have buyers that respect me and I respect. So if you're not going to be serious, I'm never going to bring you another deal. So in return, I want to honor them as well. So I'm not going to send it to one person and they're like, yeah, I'll take it. And then I'm like, so send it to this person. They're going to pay more. That's on you. You need to know who your buyers are. Who's going to pay the most? You understand? Who's going to be the best buyer for that deal? Who's going to have the best potential to close on that property? Any of these things you need to know. So it's something that you got to play because you can't piss off your buyers if every time you bring it to somebody, somebody else comes in higher and you cut them off. If you bring it to your buyer and he's not the one that pays the most, but this person does, and you keep bringing it to them, that's your problem, right? Stop doing that or get them to increase their price. But it's one of those things I've told buyers. I've had buyers on my list. I told them, I'm like, hey, just I feel it's fair. Give you a heads up. I probably won't be bringing you any more properties. I've found people that like what you like, but they're just willing to pay an extra 5-10 grand more. At the end of the day, I'm running a business, not a charity. So that moves the needle, right? And that's for them to choose. Do they want to come up or do they want to stick to their guns? I had a lot of buyers that stick to their guns. A few months later, after not getting any deals, they call me back. They're like, fine, I'll go up. Right? So you gotta make these judgments for yourself, Jen, because it's your business that you're running. So I hope that helps. Bill, what's up, brother? How long do you give them to respond to you? My buyers, I mean, they better freaking respond in 30 minutes. Like, they don't have that much time to think about it. But again, these are requirements I've set up beforehand. So I tell them, like, hey, if I send you a deal, how long do you need to make a decision just on the pictures and the price on whether or not you want to go check it out? How long do you need? Usually within 30 minutes or something. Got it. And what I typically do, Jen, is before I send them a deal, I text them. Be like, yo, I just got a property in this neighborhood. Are you looking for a house right now? Oh, yes, yes, I'm looking for a house. Got it. Can you check it out? If I send you information right now, I need to make a decision. Yeah, yeah, I'll be on my computer right now. So you're setting, you know, that urgency up beforehand, before you send them the property. So in that way, they're ready to go. So when you do send them the property, boom, you know, they're making the decision, you're setting up the appointment and all that. And that's when we talk about the same thing. Like, I send them all the pictures. I don't hide anything. I don't keep anything back. There's nothing hidden. So what you see in the pictures is what you're going to see when you walk the house. You understand? So if it's yes to the pictures, chances are it's going to be yes to the house. But if you go to the house and you change your mind because of whatever other reason, because it wasn't because of the house, I'm pretty much cutting you off my buyers list. But we go back to the vetting process. If you have buyers that are doing 7+ deals a year, they're not going to do that bullshit to you because they're serious. So when they look at a property, chances are, just on looking at the pictures and running the numbers, they already know with a 90% certainty that they're going to take that property, unless they show up to a house and they didn't realize I was in front of a power plant or some shit, right? Like, unless it's something ridiculous, chances are they're going to close on that property. That's why the experience matters. Somebody that doesn't do that many deals a year, they're a lot more skittish with the properties they buy. They want to run their numbers. They want to have their contractor, this person, that person. It's like, bro, this isn't HGTV. You know, like, either buy or get off the pot, right? So I'm trying to work on my cursing, guys, so I hope that's helping. But yeah, that's what you want to look at. And the response time, like I said, it's quick. It's usually within 30 minutes of me sending them the deal. But if I text them first and they're telling me like, man, I'm out of the office, I won't be back until 5 p.m. Got it. I'll send it to them when they're back. I won't send it to them now. You understand? Maybe I'll reach out to another buyer during that time. That's a decision you got to make. Bill, switch into wholesaling. Well, I mean, Bill, honestly, this is something I'll probably talk about later on, but wholesaling is, don't look at it as wholesaling. Look at it as you're building an acquisitions business. All right. When you build your acquisitions business as a fix and flipper, buy and hold investor, whatever you want to do afterwards, you get to cherry pick the best deals. To me, when people say, no, I only flip houses, I'm like, all right, you're just subject to whatever the market shoots at you. Me, I don't look at it that way. I build an acquisition business that I get to cherry pick the deals I generate. You understand? So my profit margins are tremendous. You know, last year we did 12 properties. We did 12 deals for, I think, a little over 750 grand. That's just 12 properties. Like, I didn't need to do 50 deals, 30 deals, or some obnoxious amount to make that kind of money. You understand? Like, what I'm more focused on is less volume, more profits. That's what we focus on. And by building your acquisition business, so as you see, Bill, Kurt is in this chat, and that's exactly what I'm coaching him on. Is he's the primary buyer. That's why he's asking me these questions, right? But by building the acquisition business, he's going to get to cherry pick some of the best deals for himself while still making a shit ton of money wholesaling the ones that he doesn't want. Every wholesale deal on a minimum for us is 25, 30 grand. That's a wholesale deal. So a flip better be 50, 60, 70 grand. If not, I'm not wasting my time on it. You understand? So I think everybody, if you're a buy and hold investor, fix and flip investor, you need to be building an acquisitions business. You have to. It's one of the things that, you know, 2020 just completely shitted on us is when the market shifted, we lost our whole deal flow because we were buying from wholesalers and agents. And when I see some of my buyers and what they're paying for their deals just to make 20 grand, I'm like, I wouldn't touch that deal. You know, I'm not going to take on a flip for 20 grand. That's insane. It's obnoxious. You'll lose that money real quick. And too much work for what? It's not necessary. So whatever I can legally do to make 300, well, get a hold of me, Bill. We'll talk about what you can do. And it's all legal. Trust me. We don't do any illegal shit. I have a nice group of attorneys that I work with that it's to keep us legal and not doing anything that's too messy or too crazy. It's not worth it. No amount of money is worth getting into a legal mess over. So if that's it, guys. If you have no more questions, keep participating in the Facebook group. Keep asking me questions. If you want to join the mastermind where I teach you how to build an acquisition business, reach out to me. Let me know. This is the last week to get the one-on-one strategy call. After that, you'll still be able to join the mastermind. You just won't get the 1 hour strategy call. You just be able to, you know, jump in the mastermind and start making 30, 40 grand a month. But whatever. Who wants that? So thank you. All right. I appreciate you guys. Hope you guys got a lot of value. Thank you all for watching. And I'll catch you on next week's training. Well, I'll put out a post this week and let's see what you guys want me to cover next week. So thank you guys, and I'll see you next week.